T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
He's open, fires, and ties it just like that with 42.7 to go. It's his first three of the night. What a shot.
Waiters for three. Off the rim. Ball tipped up. Ball game. Warriors win it by two as the Miami Heat make it close. The final score, Golden State 120 and the Miami Heat 118.
NBA, do not find me. I'm allowed to say this. It ends up being 26-8. I know nobody wants to hear it, and that's not why we lost. We had a 3-point lead with a chance to get a stop, and we actually did not play it well on Durant's handoff. And an MVP comes off, and he's wide open for a three and ties it up. But then on the very next possession, it's a double dribble. Everybody can see it. Those are tough calls to make, but everybody saw it. It's right there in front of everybody. That should be a violation. And you can't miss those calls. But we had our chances. Like I said, it was back and forth. The officials, so let's be clear about it so I do not get fined. That's not why we lost. But you hate to see 26-8 when our guys are going early. The tricks of the trade and things of that nature. I don't want to say to our guys, and I'm not going to give them that you have to earn it. You have to earn it with your record. That's not what this league is about.
Well, in a very nice way, Eric Spoelstra wasn't happy with the officiating taking place. Yes, if you saw the highlight or stayed up and watched it, or you'll see it all morning, it was double dribble on Kevin Durant. Absolutely. And the free throw difference between the two teams last night, Golden State took 26 and the Miami Heat took 8 free throws.
That's a huge difference.
So he's a little fired up and he goes, hey, man, we know how good they are, okay? We know they got a bunch of good shooters. I know their big three just went for 93 points, Durant, Curry, and Thompson. We know that. We know they're champions. But, damn, you can't give them every call and miss one like that. They had a chance to win it, boy. They had... got a couple of steals late, had a chance to win it. And, of course, Kevin Durant hits a big shot from the top of the key. And then the double dribble thing took place. And then even that kind of lost. Deion Waiters did have a three.
Yeah, good luck, too.
Had a three to win and missed it on a night. And, by the way, the Miami Heat on this brutal West Coast swing they have, playing a lot of good teams, could easily be 3-0. Could had a nice lead against Sacramento.
Should have won that game.
Couldn't hold it. Beat Portland and could have had that one last night as Kevin Durant said, we came out flat, weren't ready to go. And boy, they were down 19. Miami Heat jumped on them up by 19 to start that game. But
fun game to watch outside of the end, because of the Heat, going toe-to-toe with the best lineup in the game. And then all of a sudden at the end of the game.
Did you see their big three take over at the
end?
Oh,
no, it was ridiculous.
They were making.
It was ridiculous.
Klay Thompson's out of whatever funk he was in. Steph Curry's knocking down shots and Kevin Durant.
When Steph's the third option on offense, you're in trouble.
They all shoot free throws. If you foul him.
That's it. DeMarcus Cousins, end of the game. You foul the center. You put him on the line. I was trying to say before we started the show, if it was opposite. And Hassan went to the line with 10 seconds left or whatever it was, shooting 2 tie game. If you got one out of the two, you'd be happy. Boogie goes up there and shoots it like he's a point guard in the league.
Well, they've got the great lineup, so we shouldn't be surprised, but it was just a great opportunity. Josh Richardson had 8 threes in the game, 37 points. Deion Waiters hit 6 threes, and he had 24 points. So they hit 18 threes in the game. I mean, all those numbers, you're going, wow, did they win that game? Yeah. And couldn't win in a tight one, so tough. And now we got Denver tonight, who is struggling a little bit but still has the second-best record in the West.
And they need to win, so there you go.
So we'll find out after some guys played big minutes last night for the Miami Heat. Now they got to travel. See, we've had those. We're down here, and we're like, man, It's a good chance to get somebody. They played last night. Now they got to travel in and play us tonight. Well, the Miami Heat get one of those tonight against Denver in high altitude.
I was about to say, how much is that going to play a factor tonight, the high altitude?
I can only speak for what it did to me, and it's...
It's something you got to get used to, it, right?
It's a two-minute drill that can make your lungs really burn.
Okay.
But I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's different for these guys and anything, but, yeah, it was a two-minute drill before the half was, like...
A little rough.
Wow. Five, six plays, and you can see a lot of guys trying to get air in those lungs real quickly.
Got to come back after a bad loss last night, because you should have won that game.
And you still got Philly. Philly's going, we can't wait for you, man. We'll just make your way back out here.
Battered and bruised.
So it's a tough road trip. They're now 25-29 for the first time in a while now. They're out of the playoffs as of right now. Detroit. All of a sudden, is playing better basketball, and they've won a few.
Oh, don't forget, by the way, after Denver, they go to Dallas.
Yeah.
They still got Dallas in the middle before Philly.
No, they got some.
Monday, Wednesday, Thursday this week.
So anyway, we have all that. And then yesterday, of course, we had, on Saturday, we had Marlins Fan Fest. And I love coming out of it was give us a chance. The theme was, and they did. They said they had 21,000 people show up, and hey, here's what we got going on. I think Derek Jeter and Michael Hill are trying to be brutally honest about where the team is and what they're working on. And trust us, our minor league system and our young prospects have never been better than we are right now compared to when we got here. And you're trying to explain it to your fan base. And here's your young guys are going to be playing. They're all here taking pictures and signing stuff. It's just really hard in professional sports. Derek Jeter should know, because he always played with star players, always had big names with him, that it's hard for people to fall in love with a minor league system. It's hard. I hope those guys come up and play well. I hope Anderson takes it, you know, they had a nice start last year and can take it to the next level. But you're asking your fans to fall in love. It's just hard to do. It's hard. You got your baseball fans, diehard, are going to come out to watch it and everything else, and maybe some will go for the experience of the ballpark.
That's what they have to sell at this point.
It's a really hard sell.
Yeah.
Because, like, first-round picks in basketball.
They can come in right away and play, you know.
Come in and dominate and play like Dwayne or, I mean, when the real good ones can come in right away and play at a really high level. And in baseball,
a little different.
First round pick, even college first round picks, they got to spend time in a minor league system. And then the other thing is, a lot of times, if you were to ask, if 15,000 Marlin fans went through and you asked them who the first round pick was last year, they wouldn't know. You ask a Dolphin fan with a first round pick, they know everything about him. Maybe Fitzpatrick, saw him 20 times with Alabama. You know, it's just the difference in the sport. I don't know what baseball, I mean, obviously I always had this problem where if you don't watch MLB Network, you can't watch the draft, and you don't watch a lot of college baseball on TV. I don't watch a lot.
Plus, how many guys drafted early in high school guys?
If you're in high school, you never see them play, right? Yeah. Even basketball is doing a better job now with their top high school prospects. You know who they are. Like Vernon Carey Jr. Now has become that guy.
We heard about Zion before he went to Duke and how big of a star he's going to end up being. It's a lot different in baseball. You're right. Plus, there's how many rounds in the baseball draft? 60 rounds?
There's a zillion.
Yeah,
I don't know
it
how
goes
many
on for like 4 days, this draft, whatever it is.
It keeps going. Yeah. They might have a couple rounds going right now. We just didn't know.
They just started the draft for next year. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Not just in the beginning of the season, because the beginning of the season, you always have that little, you know, opening day or whatever it is where you get a nice little crowd out there.
Yeah.
It's back to the ones we always talk about. Tuesday, Wednesday night against Pittsburgh at home. You know, not when the Cubs are in town or the Mets are in town or if the Yankees or Red Sox make an appearance here for the weekend. It's Milwaukee on a Thursday. You know, it's that series against Pittsburgh that starts on a Monday night. Like, that's when you really got to look and say, there might have been 5,200 people at the game.
And usually in baseball, like, we know what everybody's lineup looks like and people predict how good you're going to be. And I do believe Derek Jeter's like, hey, we're going to try to win every game. Yeah. It's like the Dolphins are going to try to win every game this year. But what this roster is going to look like, it's going to be a long year for both of them. It's going to be a long year. Yeah. There's no, you know, in key positions, you don't have guys.
Well, Mike Hill spoke over the weekend. He said, I think the quote was, or he talked about adding 38 prospects and upper-level players to this team since Jeter took over.
And he said it was never like it. It was empty before these guys got here, and we did it. So you're going, okay, you're building something up from the bottom up, and I get it. You want to, that's the way other teams have done it. Houston just did a great job with it. And they went through their drought, and it was a couple years, and you got to suck it up, and you take a hit in the fan base and viewers and listeners, and you know, your sport becomes a big turnoff until you get it going again. And we've seen the Astros fill up their – a lot of people come.
Well, maybe that's the blueprint, great.
But they had some really good young prospects.
Yeah, but really bad years too.
And they had really high picks, and they hit on some guys who are really, really good players. And so we got – remains to be seen how good this group will be and how many guys will pan out and be really good players.
Well, the issue is this is really the beginning of this reset. What you see this season coming up is really like the first part. Like last year was last year. You still had a couple of guys on the team and you got rid of them, but this is the full reset. There is no – the chips are all gone. The prospects are here. The older guys that are going to play on the really minimum salaries are going to be in spring training, but this is the full reset right here.
Well, they've also gone out and got some veterans that are really good, and you always hear this, at the end of their career, and really good clubhouse guys, really good guys in the clubhouse for the young guys. Because the last thing you want is turds that
with
aren't
guys?
As good, that are miserable down there, and telling your guys, hey, don't worry about it. They need, you know, and especially when you're losing a lot. And all of a sudden, your clubhouse has got problems.
Yep. It's a nightmare there.
So anyway, see how it all plays out, man.
Maybe they'll surprise us.
See, we got to get up to spring training. I'm going up this year. I've been saying it. We haven't done it, but I'm looking.
Well, we got the
it.
Invite. That's the difference.
We got the invite. Yeah, we haven't.
When the other guys were here,
no, we got
no
invited
invite.
Last year.
We did.
Yeah. Don Mattingly invited us up last year. Oh, we didn't go. Okay. We're going to go this time.
As long as you pick me up.
We'll go up. Why is there always a catch with you guys when I say we're going up? Hey, I want to tell you
at that Dunkin' Donuts.
I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers. I want to talk to you about – I'll pick you up in my Tahoe. We'll go up.
That's what I'm talking about. I knew we were going there.
You could stretch out in that beautiful Tahoe of mine in the back, right? I'll drive you in. Is there anything else you need? You go,
yeah,
stop.
As long as we stop, yeah.
Stop, eat, and we'll keep going, and you can sleep all the way home and go, Zach, you're home. You're home.
Sounds good already. I'm excited. Yeah.
No, I knew you'd like that.
And now, it's time for Hollywood's Headlines. Without further ado, here's Hollywood.
All right, Hollywood, what do you got for us here on a Monday, man?
All right, Joe, you want to get us started with a little NBA here? And Magic Johnson had some interesting stuff over the weekend. First of all, he was talking about the potential trade with the Pelicans and asked, you know, if the trade negotiations were in good faith. And you know, it came out at the end basically that the Pelicans were kind of screwing with them because of the tampering stuff and all this. So here's Magic first talking about the trade.
We knew that basically at the end of the day, what happened happened. And we knew that when we first started. But hey, it is what it is. I'm going to say this again. Quit making this about thinking these guys are babies, because that's what you're treating them like. They're professionals. All of them. And this is how this league works. They know it. I know it. That's how it goes.
I love it. I love it. Magic's going, everybody wants me to go back and apologize to these guys because we are trying to get this really good player.
It's a business.
And our young guys are moping. Hey, man, welcome to the NBA. This is the league.
All right.
Now, that was strange. This is even stranger. He was talking with the media in Philly. And I don't know how this came up, but Ben Simmons, of course, the star at Philadelphia, wants to go work out with Magic Johnson in the offseason. and train with him and all this different stuff. We're talking about tampering, right? So I don't know how this would fit into the whole deal. Here's Magic talking about Ben Simmons coming and working out with him during the offseason.
He reached out to me, not to me directly, to the Lakers to find out if we can get together this summer. I said, hey, you got to clear it with the league. And he wants to know how to play the position as a big guard, da-da-da-da-da-da. It's fine. You know, I will do that. But if everybody doesn't sign off, then we can't get together.
No way. Like, are you serious? There's no way I'm letting our first overall pick,
yeah,
who's a really good player who plays point guard, and you guys are both big, tall point guards. No, Magic runs the show now with the Lakers. You're
spend the summer with Magic. You probably don't want to go to L.A. after that.
Well, Ben's dating one of those Kardashians.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. And add that into it.
He's out in L.A. He's got a nice pad out there. No way. No. Hey, Ben, you go out there and spend all the time you want with your girlfriend.
Yeah.
But
if I'm the league, if I'm the 76ers, I'm calling the league this morning. Hey, by the way, that is tampering.
Well, he backtracked quickly, didn't he? He goes, so you reached out to me? No, I mean, he reached out to the Lakers.
Yeah, uh-huh.
What does that even mean?
Got to be careful.
He reached out to the Lakers?
I don't know.
Of course
know.
He called Magic directly. Hi, is this the front office
what
for
do you
the
think,
Lakers?
What do you think Philadelphia's thinking of everything they've been
through? Oh, bleep.
Like, hell no.
Trust the process.
No.
I don't want him going to L.A.
Ready to get to some Alliance of American Football stuff?
I don't know, but that's a pretty good start right there, man. You came out strong
rolling,
today.
Rolling.
Yeah.
We're going to bring it down a little bit, though, now, because Marvin Lewis was an absolute disaster on the CBS broadcast. We're doing this thing where we just bring in guys that have some affiliation with football and
he
let
played,
them go.
He coached.
Or basketball or whatever now.
Yeah.
With the Tom Thibodeau deal last week.
Oh, my God.
Go ahead.
So, anyway, I mean, look, the clips are whatever. They're very boring. But the tweets were the best part of this. The worst audio issue this weekend is that Marvin Lewis's microphone actually works. Marvin Lewis is commentating like he got the news his dog died right before the first play.
Oof.
Marvin Lewis is human Xanax.
I watched the game, and he sounded really down, and like he just wasn't into it at all. Like, why are you there? Collect your money. God bless you, man. You coached a long time. There's another guy got to be in the $50, $60 million range as a guy that's coached in the NFL. Why are you taking that job when you're not into it? And I guess more importantly, who hires that guy to do that?
There's the question.
He sounded like if you've been to a funeral. Well, everybody talks at a funeral. That's what it was.
All these guys have to do some sort of tryout, right? Or do they just throw
him
in the
booth?
I don't
know, honestly.
Because whoever hired that guy after seeing that tryout should be fired.
What'd you guys think of the football?
I mean, it was football, but it was, you know, kind of watching preseason game number four.
No, I'd rather watch preseason game number four.
I have no idea because I didn't watch it. But you want to hear this from so they left Christian Hackenberg. This is why I didn't watch it. I don't want to watch Christian Hackenberg play quarterback. but he was mic'd up during the game because, you know, they're trying to be a little gimmicky here. And here's Christian Hackenberg during a play.
39. That is great that game. Hackenberg too high on that one. Incomplete. Third down looking for Reese Horn. You can hear him apologize for the language. That's all. He knows it.
That's fantastic.
That's not a good idea.
That's fantastic. We got to have the games on HBO, though, but that's fantastic.
First of all, when you're zoned in, the last thing you're thinking about, whether I'm mic'd up or not. Yeah.
You see the one hit on the quarterback, the big star play of the weekend?
Oh,
he got his helmet knocked off.
Oh, my gosh.
And then the commentator right after goes, that was his problem in college. He didn't have very good pocket awareness.
It was his front side.
What?
It wasn't his backside. He got hammered from his front side.
And this guy got drilled. Helmet
Don't
flew off.
Don't be afraid to take those blinders off. Your front side.
That's going to be the way they promote it for like the next coming weeks, right? They're just going to show that play.
Let me tell you.
We're different.
They're not trying. What they're trying to do is they want the NFL to accept this as their minor league for football so they can their developmental league for the National Football League. They were real careful not to rip anything the NFL does. We want all your billionaires to buy us.
That's right. Everyone should have their
own
franchise.
Bring us in, please.
Yep.
Let us have some of your players. This game will get a lot. Just let us have some of your practice squad guys. Our product will be a lot better.
I don't know. It was bad.
We have an item hitting the auction block that I think Joe might be interested in.
What do you got?
We have the photos from the honeymoon of Marilyn Monroe and Joe DiMaggio.
Ooh, there you go, Joe.
This is kind of cool. They, I guess they were only married for 9 months. Joe could probably fill us in a little bit more on this story. Because it's from the 50s when Joe was a young man.
Young man. Very young. Very young, yeah.
Anyway, there's 30 honeymoon pictures in a velvet album. The starting bid is $5,500. It's expected to go for over $10,000 if you're interested in the item.
Oh, that stuff's going to go.
It's going to sell.
Yankee fans and people that collect that stuff. Joe D was always kind of a mystery with Marilyn Monroe. They say Joe D never got over their Hollywood. I don't know if you know that story, that he would do anything. And when others treated her poorly and other things were going on, whether it was presidents or other celebrities that she was with, Joe D always came to get her. Joe D was always there for her when she was down and out, overdosing, drinking too much. That was Joe D's girl, man. Mm. Right to the end.
Could you draw a comparison like to a current celebrity?
No.
Like similar to Marilyn Monroe or not really? She's like in a class of her own.
She was kind of her own.
The presidents were fighting over. No, yeah. She was big. The mobsters were fighting over. She was big. She was big time stuff.
I'm waiting for Hollywood to throw like a Kardashian. But
I'm waiting for you to go. You're getting ready to rip Joe D? I mean, that's kind of the.
I have nothing to say on this one. That's why I was listening to you.
Mm. And besides, Joe D was a great baseball player.
Yeah, pretty
Yankees.
Good. Yeah.
Ready for one more thing here?
Yeah, go ahead.
You'll never guess who's getting in the CBD vape pen business.
Ooh.
Joe Montana.
Too late. We already knew.
We already did Joe Montana the other day. This guy is probably a guy who should not be in the business, but Lamar Odom.
Oh, no.
It's better that than Viagra.
That's a good point.
Well, I don't know if these are laced with anything or not, but the former NBA player is going to be pumping out Odom vape pens.
Wow.
Jeez. Okay. Does that sound like it'll sell, Zach?
I'm trying to get money. Why are you looking at me for that?
No, yeah, just asked. Yes,
Odom is crediting weed and CBD for helping him recover from the 12 strokes and 6 heart attacks he suffered after his drug overdose.
God, is that what really happened after the
overdose? He used drugs to fix his drug overdose.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Does that work? You mix the right combination, the right potion?
I don't know.
Are they going to sell is your question? The answer is yes.
3-on-3 basketball.
Are they potent?
I mean, you're buying a product to mess you up. Like, yeah. Lamar Odom's a pretty decent spokesperson,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're right. I wouldn't go as far as going through the whole gauntlet of the night or the 2 days at the Bunny Ranch. I would stick away. I would stay away from any of that.
I don't think that had anything to do with the vape.
No. That's what I'm saying. I would, if that's part of it, no.
But, you buy Lamar's secret sauce, man. I mean, it's probably a good product.
I don't know if I want his secret sauce after what it did to him.
You have a little before you go out, and you're good to go.
Mm-mm. That dude overdosed on Viagra, okay?
Boy.
That is something
everyone's
got to
make a living, right?
I don't know, man. I'm sure the Viagra people weren't even happy about that.
I wasn't even sure we could overdose. Just to go there and just let it rip, man. That's just...
Imagine being the people at the Viagra, you know, the top of the food chain, the chairman of the board and everything there, and finding out a news story just came out that a former NBA All-Star just had a stroke at the Bunny Ranch because he overdosed on Viagra?
I thought the worst thing that could happen is, like, you know, you hear at the end of the commercial, it's like if you have one
for four hours,
please go to the hospital. Yeah.
This guy had it for like 30.
That was the worst thing that could happen.
He had a 30-hour one.
Can you imagine that, what he dealt with?
Good gracious.
That would
be
painful after a while.
You think?
Real painful. Of course, unless you're just knocked out of it. And,
well, yeah, isn't that even worse, deal. Though? Is that dude sleeping? What is that?
Oh, man.
Good Lord.
You guys ever use Viagra?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Hey.
Should I ask that question to you?
No, I have. Yes, I have. Great results. Hey, we got Dave Hyde going to join us, come up speaking.
I got my first question for Dave Hyde.
Yeah, ask him.
Were you going to say, speaking of Viagra?
Speaking of Viagra.
That's what I thought he was going.
Our big
great transition.
Our big stick's coming on, man. Dave Hyde. There's no question. Hey, right now, I got to tell you all about Trans World Business Advisors. Andy Cagnetta, congratulations on last night. Before I get to what you're doing for helping people sell their companies and been doing it for more than 40 years now, LifeNet for Families last night, 1,000 people showed up, just short of 1,000 people. For the family pasta dinner that they do, it's for LifeNet for Families. They feed tons and tons of homeless families in Broward County. just doing unbelievable work, helping people get back out on their feet, feeding them, getting them clean. Just tremendous stuff for everybody. Andy and his family do this. It's incredible. It's turned into one of the biggest events we have in Broward County. And thank you very much. It was great to be part of that last night. Just can't say enough about it and all the great people that show up and give. Just tremendous. Now, when it comes to Andy Cagnetta at Transworld Business Advisors, well, he's been doing it, as I said, for 40 years. And it's real simple. You're getting ready to sell your company, not sure who to turn to get the perfect match so you can get a lot of money and retire, do something else. There's only one company that's been doing it 40 years. That's Transworld Business Advisors, man. Andy and his team of specialists are ready. Last year alone, they sold 400 companies in the state of Florida, just like yours. Nothing's too small, nothing's too big. 50,000 to 50 million. You need to call Transworld. They'll take really good care of you, match it up. And they want you to know this. There's never been a better time than right now to sell your company because there's so many people looking to buy companies just like yours. All you need is Transworld Business Advisors. Let's get it started today. 305-504-8100. That's 305-504-8100. Or remember the name. Just go to Transworld Business Advisors at tworld.com. Andy Cagnetta, you are the man.
Radio.com.
All right, let's head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Dave Hyde, columnist for the Sun Sentinel, is coming on, and we're going to discuss the 10 steps, 10 simple steps.
Dave's been working on this a lot since the end of the season.
He's been
all over it.
Dave, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Man, I need some coffee. You guys are loaded up on coffee, I can tell.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
We went double big boy today.
Yeah, we
double big boyed it.
Early coffee run. You know how that goes,
at D&D today.
I feel under-caffeinated then.
You're ready. And, by the way, we're going through it, and we're getting ready to find out. And a bunch of people asked me last night, Dave, I know you get it. Zach, everybody, hey, how bad is it? And what are we going to do with the team? And I go, well, I hope we keep Xavier Howard. And you went the other way on that, huh? So you don't believe in keeping a cover corner.
Oh, I love Xavier Howard. He's, as I wrote, he's your best player on Team Teardown, right?
Okay.
And so the issue becomes this. I said if they don't get their quarterback this spring, there's more value in trading him than keeping him. Why? Well, if they don't get a quarterback until 2020, that means we're 3 years before they're going to be playing for anything consequential, right?
Right.
And so given that, you need that players entering their prime in 3 to 4 years, not coming out of their prime. And unfortunately, Xavier Howard becoming out of it at that point. Also, what if somehow you aren't the worst team in the league next year? What if you win, say, 5 games and you're drafting 5th or 6th or something
right.
like that? You're going to need poker chips to maneuver. Right? So where are your poker chips? And everybody says, oh, well, we'll just trade up. Well, you need stuff to trade up with. And so this also would ensure that you have the ability to trade up if you need to. So I hate to trade Xavier Howard. You look at a guy who's developed here, come up through the system. He's done everything right. Let's not act like there's not going to be a lot of pain coming up here in the next year or two.
Well, there is. It's just that, Dave, we get back to the draft. We got to get this draft and do a better job. So now if guys are too good, we can't afford them and we don't keep them, or they're just so bad we don't keep them. What point do we get to keep our really good draft picks for more than 3 years?
If you're going down this road of tanking but not saying we're tanking, then you're looking at 3 years out. I'm not sure I'm a big fan of this game plan, but if you're going down this, you got to go 100% committed down it. And
Dave, we're going to be bad no matter if we make the moves that I think and you think and Zach thinks and everybody else that's listening thinks with the veteran players that haven't lived up to their contracts, to a group of young guys that are going to get a chance to play but don't play at the level that they need to because they're not good enough. It'll take care of itself. We won't have to say the word tank. You just play your best, and we're not going to be very good.
Oh, it'll be a Marlins systematic tank, no question about it. But in the NFL, that doesn't guarantee you're going to be the worst team in the league. Right? But, and beyond that...
But there's a few quarterbacks coming out, though, Dave. I mean, that's the other thing, right? Are you just zeroing in on one quarterback?
No, not at all. But you want your... You're going through this to get your choice of your quarterback, right? Your best quarterback. I mean, that's the whole idea of this. You're going to go into... If you don't get anybody this year, if for instance, they don't like Kyler Murray or he doesn't drop to them at 13th or they don't move up to 10th or whatever to pick him, then you're looking at 2020 draft. And so, yeah, one of those three quarterbacks it looks like right now, or even, you know, God, I hate to move the timeline out further. What about 2021 with the Clemson quarterback?
Trevor Lawrence.
Now you sound like the Miami Hurricanes, verbal commitments. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Trevor Lawrence is a verbal commit to the Dolphins. I like it.
Jeez.
Here's my idea on all of this. If you're not, you don't need to have one of the top three picks in the draft. And you look at every playoff quarterback this year, only one of them was picked overall by the team that actually earned or didn't earn the number one pick, and that was Andrew Luck. Everybody else was either a lower round pick, I think,
right.
It was like, or the teams traded up for him. So you shouldn't have to, and you shouldn't have a blueprint for being awful and let's get the number one overall pick. That if you're not smart enough to get a franchise quarterback another way, you're not smart enough to build a team around the guy.
Yeah,
and so that's my concern with all of this. But if you're going to go down it, I mean, what do you do with Xavier Howard? 3 years, 4 years from now, when you're good, he'll be 29, and you know, 28, 29. Only one Pro Bowl cornerback was 29 years old this year out of eight. So what do you do with them, Joe?
Well, Dave, I would just say this. First of all, if this takes 3 or 4 years to turn around, you're telling everybody to wait. I think the beauty of the National Football League, you can flip it around real quickly once you get your quarterback. That's one of my thoughts.
When are they going to get their quarterback, though?
Well, you got to get him this year or next year, but you got to try to win. And I just go off what I see with the New England Patriots. Second highest paid guy on their team, on a team that doesn't pay anybody a lot of money, not except their quarterback. They pay Stephon Gilmore to be
a lot of money.
So they can do a lot of other things with their defense. And you don't have to worry about his spot out there. So I think it's money well spent.
We're not talking is Xavier Howard valuable. No question. He's their most valuable player, which makes him
most valuable chip.
Your most valuable chip right now. And what you have to decide is, okay, when are we going to be good again? When, and seriously, do you think, is it? And it's 3 or 4 years.
Oh, gosh.
If we're talking anything consequential. If they
three
don't
or four.
Get the quarterback this year.
Ooh, yeah, that's a rough one.
And three or four.
That stinks.
I might be dead.
Don't say that.
Jeez.
Please don't say that.
I'll be retired. I won't know what. I mean, there's a lot of bad. Well, 3 or 4 years. I'm running out of time.
Let's say they get their quarterback there in 2020. Are they going to be good that year?
It's going to be a rough season, maybe.
Guy's going to come in and tear it up right away.
Yep, one of those guys.
God, I wish.
Hey, Dave. I don't like the 3 or 4 year plan, man. I mean, if I was Zach's age, I'd like a 3 or 4 year plan. It wouldn't hurt as much.
I know, it still hurts 3 or 4 years of my age at this point.
And it seems like every team here is on a 3 or 4 year plan, doesn't it?
Well, the other thing if the old head coach, the new coach of the Dolphins is coming in, he's going 3 or 4 years. Hey, Hyde, I don't know you that well, but my God, I'm going to be out of a job if it takes that long. Everybody knows this owner doesn't have any patience.
I agree. And that's my big question. Does he understand the job he took? This is the worst job out there considering what you're inheriting and the road you're going down right now. And you're banking on everybody's going to give you a lot of patience and a lot of leash. And because you're not going to win this year, we know. And assuming you get your rookie quarterback in 2020, just for the sake of argument here, you don't get him this year because the odds look better in 2020.
Yeah.
Then you have a rookie quarterback. No matter how good he is, he's still going to be a rookie quarterback on a on a team that is still rebuilding. So 3 years would be the optimum. The third year would be the optimum to where you're back contending if everything goes right. So this is a tough road they're going down.
Oh, man. Yeah, that didn't Ryan Tannehill, you're going to trade him, by the way. I've been thinking about it. Everybody's talking about trading Ryan Tannehill. How are you going to trade a guy that's going to make $19 million this year?
Oh, I think that's a fantasy. Yeah. I agree.
To be a backup quarterback for somebody else.
The only way you could trade him is if, say, Washington and I'm just throwing teams out there at Jacksonville, both say, yeah, we'd take him on it with that contract just for – and one of them says, oh, I'll give you a seventh-round pick just
sold.
So I beat the other team out. But that's a fantasy in my mind.
Yeah.
Right.
But post-June 1st, at $18.75 in salary cap money, that's not so bad.
Yeah, but you're not going to really be spending that. Maybe if they decide to extend Xavier Howard, use that money to spend on him. But essentially, they're not going to be spending free agent money this year, right?
I don't think so.
I hope not.
Really, in the short run, really doesn't mean a whole lot.
Dead money. That's what you're going to hear a lot about. We're going to talk more about dead money. When all these cuts take place, the name is dead. I had somebody ask me, what is dead money? I go, no, it's not when I die. That's not dead money. It's a different kind of dead money. Hey, Dave, we got to stay positive. We want to get you some new articles. I'm going to send some new stuff because you got to stay away from the three or four year plans.
I have a perfect start to your new article. Somebody just texted in and we haven't been good in 20 years. What's another 3 to 4?
I know, but I'm getting old.
I see
That's
Dave's new article now. That's Dave's new article.
the thing I've always loved about the Heat is they don't throw away seasons. And yet, it's sort of like everybody put on pause button, even for them. And well, as soon as they get rid of all these contracts, there's nobody here winning, Joe.
No, I know, Dave. It's hard.
Not good for business.
I'm going to find a high school team and just follow them through. I heard that's what you guys do.
I got an email. Nova Southeastern basketball team's winning. Okay, so that you know. So
yeah, we got Vernon Carey Jr. on there.
We can go to University High School. They got Vernon Carey Jr. Go watch him. We'll just jump on one of the great bandwagons we have right there. Dave, thank you, buddy.
Thanks,
I'm
Dave.
I'm glad I could brighten everybody's morning up, Jim.
Yeah, go get some coffee. Yeah,
7-year plan with Dave Hyde. That's great. I love Dave.
I'll talk about it for me.
I'll be 82 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll know what day it is. Listen, all right, Dave.
Perfect timing for my kid to get into football. About 7 years from now.
Yeah, right.
It'll be 8. Look, we got a good Dolphins team.
Oh, man. All right, listen.
Man,
we gotta go to break.
I feel like I just got kicked.
He just did
right
a 3 or 4 year program.
Jeez.
Dave, calm down.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.